Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, welcome on in. It's the Sports Bar After Hours here on ESPNRochester.com. Mike Danger here. That's Gene Battaglia over there. Hey, buddy, how you been?
Buddy, what's going on?
Yeah, you know what? I feel like it's been a second since we've had a moment to get together and talk some sports. There hasn't been a ton of sports to talk about, yet the Sports Bar lives on here at ESPNRochester.com. And we'll do our best, as time allows us to kind of keep you updated and keep you entertained on what's going on in the world of your favorite teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, the Rochester Americans, and more.
Yeah, you know, and I've gotten this question a lot. I'm sure you have too. Hey, what's going on with the show? Are you guys okay? And the answer is, yeah, Danger and I are still employed. We have not been furloughed. We understand that a lot of people in the world have been, but we've always been upfront and honest with you on the show that we have additional responsibilities. In fact, our, you know, responsibilities outside of the show are vastly more important, some might say. I'm, you know, in charge of a lot of sales. And Danger, you're running an FM station in 98PXY, so that the show will come back when sports comes back. So we're happy to still be employed, and in the meantime, you can listen to us here on demand, doing this from the comfort of our own homes.
And by the way, you know, we're not going to let you down. We're still going to talk to the best and brightest minds that are out there about your favorite teams. Today, on the Sports Bar After Hours, one of our favorites, really, Ryan Talbot from NewYorkUpstate.com, will be joining us in just a couple few.
Yeah, I think if you're going to do like the off-season review so far as the Bills are preparing for the draft later this month, there really aren't any glaring holes on this team. I mean, you can't say offensive line. The Diggs trade, you can't say wide receiver. Maybe pass rusher would be the number one need. But Brandon Bean, if you had to have like an overarching theme to this offseason, what he's done here in free agency, some of the moves I've liked, some I'm not so high on. But it's not like the Bills have to, in the second round, Danger, draft for need. They should, and it's very cliche, take the best player available.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we'll dive into a little bit with Talbot here later on in the episode. What are some of those draft needs for the Buffalo Bills? I am high on the Bills still going after a wide receiver, one that might be out there with the amount of depth that this draft class has at the position. Hey, listen, you spent a lot in going to get Stephon Diggs. I don't think that means that you don't still bring in somebody young that could potentially be the next Stephon Diggs if you're the Buffalo Bills, and those receivers exist in this year's draft class. But it wouldn't shock you to see the Bills go with a corner, an edge rusher, even interior defensive line, depending on who's available for them when they make that first pick.
I think we can say, though, offensive line, I'd be very surprised if they want offensive line, where at the beginning of this offseason, I thought, all right, that is certainly a need. You want to fortify. So they've at least taken care of that. But I will agree with you on the wide receiver, particularly with what might be available there when the Bills pick in the second round. You could get somebody who could step in right away. And let's be honest, how many four or five wide receiver sets do you see in the league? They're quite common. They're, you know, it is a staple of the Dable offense when you're on third and long. So who might be wide receiver four on this team? Sure, that's one thing that I think if you get that wide receiver, you don't have to worry about that receiver coming in and making an immediate impact. You can develop him at his own pace. And to have that sort of depth at the wide receiver position, I would put it right now. I would say certainly an edge rusher is a number one because you need somebody else there. But another wide receiver, that would be nice.
We've learned a little bit more about the upcoming NFL draft since Brandon Bean gave up some of his time to the media on a Zoom call late last week. We've learned that the NFL will indeed be drafting remotely, that teams will not be using their team facilities as they would normally use for an annual draft.
It's funny how like Roger Goodell came down on this and, you know, threatened, disciplinary action if any team or GM or any personnel member should speak out against this. And the fact that Adam Schefter actually spoke out against it, it was almost like he was doing this on behalf. Yeah, I you don't know how the world is going to look 2 weeks from now, but I'll say this. I'm looking forward to distractions on television at night. There aren't any games, so I'm not a Chicago Bulls fan, but I'm really looking forward to watching that documentary that got bumped up. And along those same lines, gosh, I probably will watch every minute of the draft Thursday, Friday, and all day Saturday because this is going to be a welcome distraction for a lot of people. It's going to be a lot different. I'm certainly curious as how they're going to pull this off. I'm wondering, in this day and age of spotty Wi-Fi in different places, well, what if there is a technical difficulty? What if somebody's internet goes out? I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios here that could really provide a challenge here for the NFL. So I know some people are upset that the league is going ahead with the draft, but I would ask this, like, when would be the okay time to have the draft? I'm still holding out hope, Danger, and I know it seems remote now, but that we will have a normal training camp and a normal start to the NFL season. Again, I that would be a very big hope of mine. But if you're going to push off the draft, then when would you do it? May, yeah. June? Let's get it out of the way.
And I think the NFL already making concessions in that, if it was up to them, they wouldn't have done anything differently. You get the sense that the NFL kind of marches to their own drummer and that they're, already standing to lose millions and millions of dollars by not having fans in attendance at their new made-for-TV event, their new annual major event in the NFL draft. And Vegas was certainly primed and ready for that here at the end of the month. They'll get a mulligan on that one at some point, probably a make good from the NFL, and the NFL doesn't want to have to owe anybody any favors. It's the Sports Bar After Hours here on ESPNRochester.com and the Radio.com app. We appreciate you checking us out. Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia will be joined in just a few minutes here by Ryan Talbot, covering the Buffalo Bills for NewYorkUpstate.com. And Gino, we discussed pretty at length about what Brandon Bean had to say when he took time out to meet with the media via Zoom late last week. One of the things that he said, and what I liked about Brandon Bean and his comments to the media is everything that he said was kind of, and it's always kind of been this way with Brandon Bean, it's kind of rooted in common sense. He's not going to say anything that's going to get him in any kind of trouble. When he was pressed on the Diggs trade and what it was worth to the team to go and get Stephon Diggs, he kind of echoed, I think, what a lot of smarter Bills fans said, is like, look, we're in a mode right now where we want to win, and as enticing as it might be to get one of those hot young wide receivers in the draft, we don't really have the time right now to develop that player. Why not bring in a guy who's already established, already knows what he's doing at this level, and can contribute to our success today instead of 2 years from now?
I think it's interesting, too, that the Bills were in the market for Emmanuel Sanders and talking to him. And then, the line went quiet on Sanders when the Diggs trade went down. But that should get every Bills fan excited, because by that line of thinking, we're not used to that. It's always build. That this is now the slight pivot to win now here. That, yes, you're bringing in a Diggs and the expectation is the number one now. Do I have concerns about Stephon Diggs and his character? I'm going to give him a clean slate. But I think what went down in Minnesota was kind of strange. And I think Brandon Bean is also kind of, handling this correctly, that the contract right now should not be an issue. Don't even No, you have 3 years left on this. Don't even go down that road.
No, I think the issues that most fans would have with Diggs in Minnesota is his inconsistency as a teammate. You saw a Stephon Diggs who broke out the year that Case Keenum was a starting quarterback, and a different Stephon Diggs the last two seasons in terms of his off-field and sideline behavior with Kirk Cousins as the quarterback. And I think it's ultra important for Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs to develop that connection, that off-field relationship, as well as their on-field relationship, and see just exactly what can flourish out of that. He's a competitor. He's a guy who wants the ball in his hands. And most wide receivers, the ones that are talented, are the ones that want the ball and want to be making plays and be a difference maker over the course of the game. I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem with a wide receiver getting after a quarterback on his team because he's not getting the ball enough.
Yeah, and that's going to be there will be the game where, you know, the targets may go in John Brown's direction or Cole Beasley. And with the way this schedule matches up, ooh, yeah, 10 wins might be a stretch. That might be, if you're a Bills fan, I would think you would want to sign up for 10 wins right now because you see that list of opponents.
And, Gino, I was going to bring this up too, and we'll talk more about this with Ryan Talbot from New York Upstate when he joins us here in a few. Brandon Bean also made mention that, look, the New England Patriots, while a lot of teams might have the Buffalo Bills now as a favorite in the AFC East, don't sleep on the New England Patriots. Last time we checked, the Patriots still beat the Bills twice last year. Bill Belichick is still the head coach. And I would argue that while on paper you could make the argument that the Bills have more talent now with the departure of Tom Brady in New England, you could still say that New England is better equipped to go west and face some of those tougher West Coast opponents than the Buffalo Bills are. I'm not gonna throw shade on the Patriots, especially with Bill Belichick as the head coach.
Well, I mean, what did people expect? I mean, if Brandon Bean gets the podium and says, yes, I think we are the team to beat. Well, that's headlines. That's Rex Ryan sort of stuff there. It doesn't matter in the month of April, nor does it matter in May, June, July, or August, okay? Yes, let's wait until the season, and there is a schedule that will determine who is the best team in the AFC East. So good on Brandon Bean that he's like, no, they're the defending champs, and we really haven't done anything against these guys. And he's absolutely right. And the fact that the Patriots will be bringing back an opportunistic defense that, by the way, they've taken a few hits, but that secondary is still going to be back and intact. And I wouldn't think that team is going to fall to 6-10 all of a sudden just because Tom Brady isn't there. I mean, my gosh, that offense with Tom Brady wasn't anything special last year. So let's see what they do with somebody new behind center.
Gino, before we get to Ryan Talbot here, I'd like to pivot just because you brought up his name. Does Rex Ryan still have a job at ESPN after last week? I haven't checked recently. I've been following the online social media mob, but that blast on Amari Cooper, I mean, Rex has now officially become a better TV analyst than a head football coach. Did you hear what he said about Amari Cooper last week?
Well, somebody's got to explain to me, where does that come from? I'm trying to piece this together. Was it a bad interview he gave to Rex years ago? I mean, that was the first I've ever heard of, Amari Cooper. Sure, Amari Cooper, you want to criticize his game that some points he disappears, and Cowboy fans, you got to nod your head. Yes, that sometimes happens, but to call him a turd?
No. The biggest disappearing act in the NFL and saying, quote, I wouldn't have paid this turd. Wow. That quote right there puts you in the Super Bowl, Rex. You weren't able to do that as a head coach. You just made it as an analyst. Way to go, buddy.
Yeah, well, I don't know. What's the phrase? Ratioed? I mean, that's what that was because I don't think there's any there's no merit to it. Right? I mean, if you want to say, hey, I don't want to pay the turd Antonio Brown, I will hear that. But to use that word, you can say I don't want to pay this guy. I have my concerns. That's all legit. But when you throw out you call a name like that. Yeah. And then the apology comes. I always love when the apology comes right afterwards. Sure. Yeah. That's so sincere.
Yes. It's very genuine. It's Rex Ryan apologizing. It happens all the time. Gino, before we get to Ryan Talbot, one more thing before we let you go here. I know we've got some hot uniform talk. Now, we're not in the studio, so I don't have all of my sound effects at the ready, but we're going to find out what the Browns are going to be looking like in 2020 later this month. Tomorrow's a big day, Gino. Tomorrow, we find out what Tampa Bay will be looking like. Some hot uniform talk in the sports bar.
Okay, So like, because we're in the podcasting world now, by tomorrow, you mean Tuesday, right?
Tuesday, yes, correct.
Are you like me? I'm like, what day is it today? Okay, yeah, it's Tuesday. Tuesday. Well, I think it's already been spoiled by Arians, right? Basically, they're going back to what they wore when they won the Super Bowl with Brad Johnson and Chucky as the head coach there. So it doesn't sound like it's going to be anything other than getting rid of the alarm clock numbers and maybe just not look like an XFL team, basically. Let's look like an NFL team. And, you know, Tom Brady should, be looking better, I would think, in that uniform, what they're going to, bring out next year. The hot uniform talk I want is they have floated this idea. It's not even an idea. The teams can now bring in a second helmet, which would lead to all these throwback uniforms.
Yeah. I think that's
We're talking.
That's in line next year. I'm going to have to lather up for that one. And also, in the face of just unrelenting scrutiny from fans, the LA Rams standing pat with their new logo, their new team colors, even though it was not, to say the least, not well received by the mob.
Boy, they got problems out there. That's the least of their problems. I mean, is that stadium going to get done in time?
Yeah, right. Not well, if it's going to get done, even if it gets done in time, are there going to be people in it to make that money back at some point? That's a mess.
That is a mess, boy.
In Los Angeles. Gino, it's great to hear your voice. I hope we get the chance to do this again here later on this week. We'll kind of continue to keep you updated here in the sports bar after hours on ESPNRochester.com and through the radio.com app. Shall we bring in Ryan Talbot?
Yeah, Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. One of our favorites here in the sports bar. He's home with his family down in Olean. So certainly looking forward to having Ryan on the show here.
Ryan Talbot, how you holding up, man?
Hey, I doing as well as you can given the circumstances, that's for sure.
How is life at NewYorkUpstate.com and Syracuse.com? Is everybody maintaining? Is everybody adjusting to a new normal? Are you finding yourself as active and busy as you've ever been?
You know, right now, yes, just because of free agency and the draft, obviously the Stephon Diggs trade. That's led to a lot of stories and a lot of writing for Matt Perino and myself. So we'll see how that keeps going, especially once the draft is over in terms of how much content is out there. But, we are pushing out a lot of content still on a day-to-day and a week-to-week basis.
I want to get into everything that Brian Bean spoke on last week during his Zoom call with the media and look ahead to that draft here coming up at the end of the month, assuming that it goes off without being postponed. But we know that as of right now, most NFL teams, if not all NFL teams right now, are kind of planning to partake in the draft from remote locations, not from team facilities, to keep the competitive advantage fair, correct?
Correct. That's what it's looking like for now. It looks like teams are going to be possibly doing it from home offices, possibly doing it somewhere else, but it doesn't look like team facilities will be in play as of right now.
What about this Zoom call that Brandon Bean conducted last week? Gave the media a good amount of time there, about an hour or so, just answering questions and kind of adding some clarity to what looks like a pretty productive offseason for the Buffalo Bills. Let's start with what Brandon Bean's thoughts are on the AFC East as a whole. I caught some comments that he still considers the New England Patriots to be the class of the AFC East. Ryan, is he right?
I'm not going to write off Bill Belichick at this point in time. I just can't do it. And I will say that obviously things are going to be a lot different in New England in 2020, especially with the quarterback room that they currently have. They currently have Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer as their two quarterbacks. Obviously, there's a lot of people that are speculating that if they could kind of clear up some cap space, they could bring in another veteran. Obviously, there are a few big names out there on the market, but that's to be seen. You know, the one thing I'll say about Belichick is he's always going to have a good defensive game plan. That's right up his alley. He is very smart. So even if the losses he's had on the defensive side of the ball this offseason, he's going to have a plan in place to really keep games close, keep offensive teams from scoring a lot of points. He still has a pretty solid secondary. So offensively, though, the game plan might change. He might say, okay, we're going to grind games out. We're going to focus on the run game, especially if Stidham is the guy. We're not going to throw him to the Wolves and make him throw 30 to 40 times per game. We're going to grind out close games. We're going to see what we can do. But as long as Bill Belichick is there, I'm not ready to write off that team by any means. And as great as Tom Brady has been over his career, I think it's fair to say that he wasn't the same quarterback in 2019. So we're not talking about them losing prime Tom Brady. He was still a very good quarterback, but there's a chance that Stidham could come in or another quarterback and be league average and have a strong run game. They can still compete in this division.
It's the Sports Bar After Hours, checking in with Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest here. Ryan, you know, on paper, it would look like the Bills should be the class of the AFC East. And it's funny to be able to say that after years and years of the Patriots being dominated. But you could still make the case that because, like you mentioned, Bill Belichick being the head coach of the Patriots and always being a guy who can get more out of less, that they might actually be better equipped to handle the 2020 schedule, a schedule that's going to be very challenging for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough schedule for every team in the AFCs. You know, they have some tough opponents out on the West Coast. Obviously, the schedule making is going to play a big role into that, too, in terms of will the Bills be there back-to-back weeks, get two games done back-to-back so that way they're not traveling back and forth. Little things like that can really factor in a season. The limited offseason, which I think is fair to say there's going to be a limited offseason in the NFL, that's going to play a role. You know, the one good thing for Buffalo to compete with New England this year is there's a lot of the same players on both sides of the ball. Obviously, they added Stephon Diggs on offense, but you're returning your same offensive line. You have added some depth there. You still have your same running back and Devin Singletary, quarterback, wide receivers, tight end. Defense, yeah, you did lose Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson, but you upgraded possibly with three players along the defensive line. Lorenzo Alexander's gone, but you added a guy that knows the defense and A.J. Klein. And you might be rolling the dice a little bit on cornerback number two, but you brought in two cornerbacks again that know this system that can compete for that job against Levi Wallace.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us in the Sports Bar After Hours. I want to go back to that Bean Zoom call from last week, and he spoke at length on the Stephon Diggs trade. And what I liked about his comments were they were rooted in common sense and how we kind of viewed the trade as outsiders. This is a move that the Bills are making to push their chips to the middle of the table, knowing and recognizing that if they have a weapon like Stephon Diggs, they don't have to worry about developing a new and young wide receiver in a draft class that's loaded with them. Talk about his comments on the Stephon Diggs trade, why it makes sense, and is it indeed worth the price that they paid?
Yeah, first and foremost, definitely worth the price that they paid. A 1.56 this year, a 4 in 2021. But if you look at it, they had additional fifth and sixth round picks from the Wyatt Teller deal and from the Russell Bodine deal. The first round pick, it was at number 22. So we're not talking about a high first round pick by any means. So those top three wide receivers in the draft class likely would not be there at 22. Or if you package all those picks, it would have moved you up to about 18, maybe that 19 range. And again, those three wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, most likely aren't there at that point in time. But in addition to that, he said, you know, we're getting a proven number one wide receiver in Stephon Diggs. And while those top three wide receivers have very high upside, they could end up being great wide receivers in this league. There still is a learning curve. And even if they develop into great wide receivers, they may not be a great wide receiver in year one. In terms of a limited offseason, you might still have some issues with route running because they're learning the playbook. You know, Stephon Diggs, he'll be new to this offense, but he's been in the league. He's going to know what he's doing out there on the field. Great route runner, which is exactly what Josh Allen needs, just like what they have in Cole Beasley and John Brown, guys that can get themselves open and give Josh Allen bigger windows and things like that to target. So definitely worth the price. Makes sense to take him over a rookie who's going to be learning on the fly. And then just kind of pushing in the chips. Yeah, right now you have Josh Allen on a rookie contract. And that's the time where you have a legitimate Super Bowl window in this league, in this day and age. So you do have to push the chips in. If you look at the other first round top 10 quarterbacks from that 2018 class, they put a lot of offensive talent around Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, but the offensive line was a mess last year. We'll see where that's at in 2020. The Jets, who knows what the Jets are doing right now. They added an offensive lineman per day there for like that first week of free agency, but their big splash was George Fant, which isn't much of a splash if you ask me. You could have spent that same money for a Brian Bulaga, and maybe Bulaga didn't want to go to the Jets, right? Maybe he wasn't priority number one, but you could have overpaid a little bit to get him in. I think that would have been a much better move. You lose Robbie Anderson, and you replace him with Breshad Perriman, which at best, that's a wash. But I think in terms of overall talent and chemistry, Anderson was the better player. And then you look at Buffalo. You know, you upgraded the offensive line last year. You've brought in more depth than Darrell Williams. I think a signing that could end up being one of their best ones in terms of flying under the radar right now, a guy that can play four different spots, better suited to play on the right side of the offensive line. You still need a compliment for Devin Singletary, but you have a strong young running back. You have a solid tight end room. I think they really like Dawson Knox. There's still some questions about the other wide receivers, Tyler Kroft. Can he stay healthy? Can he contribute? I like Tommy Sweeney a lot, but you're going to be hard-pressed to find a better 1-2-3 at wide receiver than Diggs, Beasley, and Brown. And right now, with that rookie contract, you're pushing the chips in saying, this is our time to make a push. Tom Brady is gone. Yes, the Chiefs are going to be a hard out in the playoffs if you can get to them. Yeah, you still have to worry about the Titans to a lesser extent. You've already shown last year that you can go against the Ravens in a competitive game. Well, you know, Josh Allen did struggle for most of that. It still was a one possession game when all was said and done. So you give them another weapon where you could possibly beat them as well. So yeah, Brandon Bean is going all in on this Buffalo Bills team in 2020.
Ryan, I'm curious. And I think my first reaction, unfortunately, when I heard the news of the Diggs trade was, oh boy, that guy's a handful to deal with as a teammate. Now we know that he was a handful to deal with for Kirk Cousins. I don't know, you could say the same thing about Case Keenum. What do we know about Stephon Diggs, his character, the kind of teammate he is, the kind of locker room presence he is, and could he, if he doesn't get fed, have some issues with Josh Allen? I mean, could he be a detriment to Josh Allen? I don't know that I'd see it that way, but I don't want to unfairly characterize a guy who, you know, left Minnesota with a bad taste in his mouth.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people right after the trade, I think especially if you were a Vikings fan, said, oh, you know, he was kind of a diva. He was always complaining. The people that covered him in Minnesota, though, saw him in a different light, and they said, this is just a guy that's a competitor. He wants the ball in his hand. And Jim Kelly recently said something like along the lines of, when he was playing, Andre Reed was the same way. And, you know, there wasn't social media to maybe see it back in those days where he would complain, go back to a huddle, throw his arms up, and Jim would be like, listen, that was a run play. I don't even know what you're complaining about. The best wide receivers in the game are all ultimate competitors. They want the ball in their hands. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Now, yes, Brian Daboll does have to find a way to get him targets on a week-to-week basis. You do have to spread the ball around, though. You have to get Beasley involved. You have to get Brown involved. There's a lot of mouths to feed. And that can cause some problems. But at the same time, if you're winning and you're looking like you are going to be a legitimate AFC Super Bowl contender, I would like to think that that would satisfy Diggs. I know that the Vikings were a playoff team. I don't know if they were ever a legitimate Super Bowl contender, especially when you look around the landscape of the NFC over the last few years. So, you know, it might just be he needed a fresh start. I think a lot of players said that he was a great teammate. Adam Thielen was really bummed out about losing him. I think Thielen's production is going to take a hit without Diggs there to help him when he's on the field. So, you know, I think a lot of players did speak up for Diggs, saying he was a great teammate. He was a great locker room presence. Thielen said he taught him a lot about on and off the field about being a player. So it just really depends on who you talk to and what you see. But I just think this guy's a competitor that wants the ball in his hands. And at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with that.
The Sports Bar After Hours, Mike Danger, joined by Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, covering the Buffalo Bills for Syracuse.com. Josh Norman, prime for a bounce back. Is this something where it is as simple as, he was just miscast in a bad system. Now we can get him back in the system he's comfortable with, that Sean McDermott defense that he had so much success with in Carolina. And you mentioned Darrell Williams as well, and how versatile a player he was in free agency. I want to talk about a couple of the players that the Bills went to the Carolina cupboard to raid here this offseason, and what is a fair expectation for each of them in 2020.
Yeah, you know, starting with Josh Norman, the Bills, I think, are hoping that that's the case, that it was just he was playing in a defense that didn't fit his skill set. I also think, though, it's fair to say that he's lost his step or a little bit of that athleticism that he had during those Panthers days. So I still think the cornerback two job is up for grabs. I think they took some gambles there. A guy like Josh Norman, that if he did lose that step, if he doesn't have that athleticism, he might struggle here early on, whether there's a training camp, whether it's preseason, whether it's early in the regular season. EJ Gaines was brought in to compete against him, another familiar face, not from the Panthers, but previous experience with the Bills, two previous stints. Injuries are a concern there. He cannot stay healthy. He's had a lot of issues with that in his career, where two concussions in 3 weeks with the Browns, lower body injuries with the Bills, Liz Frank injury that kept him out an entire season with the Rams. So can he stay healthy? Levi Wallace was picked on a lot there last year as well. So three guys that you're kind of taking a gamble on that combined can kind of cover that spot. We'll wait and see. I wouldn't be shocked if a day two pick was dedicated to the cornerback position. Darrell Williams, a guy that I think is best suited at right guard or right tackle. So it's going to be intriguing to see how he comes in and fits. I think they'll give him a legitimate shot to win a starting job. If Cody Ford struggles, he had some up and down play. He looked like a rookie at times, but he also had some bright spots. You could slide Darrell Williams in at right tackle, a position where he's most comfortable, where he's played the most of his career. But he might be at that point in his career too, where he's best fit to play right guard. But John Feliciano played there. At worst, you're getting strong depth there. Some other guys, Vernon Butler, Brandon Bean kind of spoke to the point of the fact that they have Eric Washington in here, the former defensive line coach and defensive coordinator with the Panthers, knows Butler very well, said the light bulb kind of went on for Butler last year, 6+ sacks after doing little to nothing stat-wise in his first three seasons. So maybe that was the priority in terms of the defensive line coach here. Washington said, you know, listen, the light bulb came on. We're going to get a great value here if we can get him at this price. And here's how I would utilize him. Mario Addison, he's the big splash on the defensive side of the ball. Yes, he'll be 33 when the season begins, but he's still a consistent pass rusher. 9+ sacks, or 9 sacks or more, I should say, in the last four seasons. Seasons 39 total over that stretch of time, can still get after the quarterback with the best of them. I think he'll help the pass rush quite a bit. And then you also have A.J. Klein, who he's versatile too. Obviously, he's being brought in to play that Lorenzo Alexander role. But if Tremaine Edmonds needed to get a breather and was out for a play or two, you could play him at inside linebacker. He can contribute on special teams. So a lot of versatility there too. So a lot of those former Panthers players, I can see why Brandon Bean was eager to bring them in.
Yeah, it kind of fits the mold of what they've done with this team over the course of the Bean and McDermott regime. Talking with Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, the Sports Bar After Hours. Let's look forward to the draft here, Ryan. We've got the end of April, assuming everything goes well. We've mentioned a couple of options that the Bills could go. I mean, we certainly believe that corner could be a play, as you mentioned, in maybe the third round. I think a pass rusher needs to be something that's addressed. Interior defensive line, for sure. A running back, yes. And I know that a lot of people will believe that because they brought in Diggs and they invested in Diggs that they shouldn't go for a wide receiver. I think they should go for a wide receiver, find a wide receiver that could potentially be a big-time playmaker in the future that can develop under the veteran leadership that you now have in place in that room. What are your thoughts on the Bills, their needs, and what direction they go here at the end of the month?
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, at wide receiver, I think it'd be foolish for them not to bring one in at some point during this draft class. This is one of the deepest classes in years. So, you know, I'm not saying you have to take one in round two, but if one, if a player falls, you have a first round grade on and he's there for you at 54 or near that range, go up and get him. If you think he's a guy that can eventually be a top three wide receiver on this team, because eventually John Brown's contract will be up. Cole Beasley, I believe, will be about 30 this year. So, you know, you want to have some options ready. Or if you bring in a top guy, you can run some four wide receiver sets because you have the personnel for that now. You can do that. Give a spread look. Make life a little bit easier for Josh Allen in the passing game. I think another option that's out there is possibly going safety, which I think might surprise some fans, especially because they kind of gave Jordan Poyer some more money. But you still have to look long term. They did promote Jim Salgado to big nickel coach. So they have a specific coach now for that position. They played out of the nickel about 75% of the time last year. So if you want to have a big nickel, maybe you're going to bring in a Kyle Duggar or a Jeremy Chinn, someone that can come in right away, learn the system and contribute, compete against Saran Neal in that role. Or maybe it's going to be a nickel cornerback that you bring in round two, round three, that can compete with Taron Johnson. Taron Johnson, when he's on the field, he's played very well, but he's missed some time with injuries, whether it's just out for a few plays on a game-to-game basis or missing games because of something that happened in a previous week's game. So you do want to have some backups there in terms of cornerback or in your secondary overall. Edge rusher, you know, maybe they really like Darryl Johnson, seventh-round pick that actually played a good amount of snaps last year on defense and on special teams. Maybe they like Mike Love and think that he can eventually contribute. But if you look at that defensive end position, Addison, 33, Hughes' deal will be up sooner rather than later. Trent Murphy, final year of his deal. That's an older room in terms of what are you going to get out of them long term. So maybe if there's an edge rusher that you really like, Curtis Weaver has been a name that's been projected to be available in round two. If you like him, maybe he's the guy that you bring in. And you can develop. You don't have to throw him out there necessarily right away, but you have a lot of good veterans for him to learn from. So I think all their options are open. Running back, you mentioned, there could be some great options that fall into their lap. Dobbins out of Ohio State would be a nice compliment for Singletary. Taylor would be an ideal compliment. I don't think he falls to 54. I wouldn't be shocked if he's the first running back off the board, but if he's there in the start of the second round, maybe trade up and go get him. Because then you have a three down back that you have, you can mix and match with Singletary. You can have them both in the backfield in certain formations, and you can really create some mismatches on the field.
Ryan, all great stuff. Really appreciate you carving out some time to share your wisdom with us here in the Sports Bar After Hours. Make sure you let our audience know what you're working on there with your buddy Matt Perino at New York Upstate.
Yeah, Matt and I are looking at ideal targets on a round-by-round basis. We've already looked at round two and round three. We'll cover rounds four and rounds five this week. I'm going to have a mock draft out later this week. And I'm also going to look at the job that Brennan Bean has done since becoming GM in terms of building up this offensive roster around Josh Allen.
Great stuff, Ryan. Stay well and be well. We hope to get to talk to you again here real soon in the Sports Bar.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay safe.
The Sports Bar After Hours, Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia. We appreciate you listening at ESPNRochester.com and on the radio.com app. Back with another episode tomorrow. Pat Duffy, one of our regulars here in the Sports Bar, will be joining us. Pat Duffy from our radio.com sister station, 96.5 WCMF. And we'll get his take on, you know, everything in general that's happening here in the world of sports or not happening here in the world of sports. But we'll dig a little bit deeper specifically into the Buffalo Bills as we approach the NFL draft. Pat Duffy from The Break Room on 96.5 WCMF, our guest tomorrow in the Sports Bar After Hours podcast. Thanks for listening at ESPNRochester.com and the free-to-download radio.com app. Stay well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.